1079 WOLD New Jersey.
Welcome to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells. Live every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Now here's your host, Peggy Ballester Howells.
A bottle of red, a bottle of white. It all depends upon your appetite. I'll meet you anytime you want in our Italian restaurant.
Welcome to the Garden Show, and that song was in honor of the return of Jordan.
Hi, yay, everybody. I'm so happy to be back.
But you had a good time in Italy, right?
Oh, incredible.
And did you have white or red?
Both.
Both in abundance?
Yes.
And you had a good time?
Yes.
I asked you when you got back on a scale of 1 to 10, how was the trip? And you said...
I said 11. Yeah. It could go higher, though. There's
really?
Wiggle room.
Yeah, but you really upset me with one thing.
Oh, what?
You said the bread was crummy.
Oh, well, here's the thing. I didn't know this. Italian bread is not a monolith by any means, but in the Tuscan region, they do not salt their bread.
So it's tasteless.
Yes.
That's very upsetting to me.
Yeah, me too.
It's just not what one would expect.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very disappointing. But other than that... Was the trip really good? What was your favorite part?
Oh,
what did you see?
Gosh.
Did you like the Statue of David?
He was impressive. Amazing. I cannot believe that somebody just went in and carved that with their hands. It was so lifelike, and it was massive.
You know, there's a story behind that. Of course, there's a story behind everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a huge, long piece of marble. And somebody else, some other sculptor had it, and they couldn't see anything in it that was like too odd a shape to use the whole thing. And then Michelangelo saw it and he could see David in it. I carve stone. I haven't done
yes.
it in years. I would like to get to the point to be able to do it again. But the trick is to look at a block of stone and be able to see something in it and then take away all the parts that are not what you see. That's the art of sculpting.
Wow.
I have really cool sculpting tools. So Michelangelo was able to look at that huge, elongated piece of stone and see David in there.
That's mind-blowing.
Yes. So you could see, and that's how he carved it. And it is, I saw it many, many years ago, and it takes your breath away.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unbelievable. Did you see the Pietà?
Is it in the Accademia?
I'm not sure where it is. It's not. I know I saw it when I was there, but I don't remember exactly where it was. I'm not even sure if it was in Florence or another city because we saw it was we visited Rome at the time too. But the Pietà is a really good story too, because that one was magnificent, and no one would believe that Michelangelo was the person who carved it because he was only 21 at the time.
Wow,
and he was. So he was wandering around listening to people look at the statue, and he got upset that no one credited him with it. So overnight, he went, and on the strap, he carved Michelangelo so that people would know it was really him.
Oh, my
him.
Gosh.
So, yeah, so he was a bit of a character, no doubt about it. So, but that sculpture was just, to me, just amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't drink wine, so that did not affect me. But the wine in Italy, did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it was really good. We stayed, our home base was in Montepulciano, which is like, it's not super far north, but it is in northern Italy. It's in the Tuscan region, and they're known for their wines.
Of course.
Specifically, Nobile and Rosso di Montepulciano. So those were like nice reds.
So did you visit a vineyard?
Yeah, we did an agriturismo, which was super cool. It's kind of like
agriturismo.
Yeah.
That's agricultural tourism. We have the same thing here. Agriturismo.
Yeah, that's what it's
cool.
called.
Okay.
So there's like their little B&Bs.
Sounds Italian.
Yeah, and they're usually on farm properties. So the one that we went to was called My Farm. It was super cool. They had like olives and grapevines, and they had a little botanical garden where everything was labeled, and this beautiful villa, and they made their own wine, they made their own olive oil, so that was all super cool. We got to sample their products. Delicious.
Supposedly there's an olive farm in my ancestry somewhere.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Somewhere. And believe it or not, a prosciutto farm.
Huh.
Yeah, somebody owned a pig farm and were famous for making prosciutto. Which
That's
is probably
very cool.
Why I'm addicted to this stuff. I could
yeah,
live on
it's
it.
In your blood.
It's in my blood. It was also in my refrigerator.
You told me.
Yes. When I was a little girl, Sean, you'll get a kick out of this. When I was a little girl, and my father, you know, had a butcher shop on one side of the store and a produce market on the other side of the store. So as an after-school snack, you would go into the refrigerator in the basement, and there was a whole prosciutto in the refrigerator with a knife.
I love it.
And you would that would be my I would go and I'd cut a wedge. Now prosciutto is tough,
mm-hmm.
which is why you get it sliced so thin,
right?
But when you cut a hunk, you kind of gnaw on it, and that was my after school snack every day. I'd go down, cut a big wedge off and chew on it, and when that was gone, my father'd bring home another one.
Huh.
It was in there all the time. So I have a lot of history and attachment to prosciutto for multiple reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So what else did you really like?
Oh, man. So there's a lot. We saw so many magnificent churches. I think the ones with domes. We saw the church in Siena. I couldn't tell you the full names of the churches, but the church in Siena was... I can't even get my mind around it. Everywhere you looked, there was some sort
you
of insane detail.
You sent me pictures,
detail.
But was it all painted? It looked like some of it might have been tile work.
Yeah, there was a lot of tile work. There was a lot of stone work. There were frescoes. It was just gorgeous. And there were so many like little side rooms, and some of them even had their own small domes. And there was just this awesome library that I think was dedicated to Pope Pius, and they just had these giant... pages of books framed that like outlined his life, and the tile on the ground
was
so
from
cool.
That area?
He must have been. I couldn't tell you, but yeah.
Did you learn any Italian while you were there?
I learned a few phrases. A key one is posso, may I? If you ever go to Italy, have that one in your back pocket.
Okay.
You can walk into any restaurant, say posso and point. You know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And didn't you also use it to pet every dog that was there?
Yes, that was useful. That was in my top five phrases.
The top five phrases. Okay, good to know. Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the plants? Do you see anything in the plant world that you liked?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It was so cool to just go somewhere where the climate was different and see things that we could never grow here just thriving. I can't even tell you. There were giant agave. There were giant opuntia, palm trees. There were a lot of... these trees called golden chain trees, which do grow here.
Yeah,
they could, but I haven't seen them around here. They're
I had
just,
one at,
you
at,
did?
At Blooming Acres. I did. Yeah.
Oh, they
yeah.
were so cool.
They're in the pea family.
Yeah. And of course the olives.
Right.
Just breathtaking. And they keep them really short there.
I really want to know, and I suppose there's history of this. Somewhere, somebody knows. Who figured out what to do with olives?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people died along the way.
Because they're wicked.
Yeah.
On the tree, they're absolutely wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to soak them and brine
and wash them.
Shift it and dump it and do it again. And then you got to pickle them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a huge process. Now, and olives have been around for a very long time. So who in a very long time ago came up with the idea to take this thing that tastes like poison and is going to kill you and is absolutely disgusting and makes you gag and turn it into a valuable commodity that can be exported and treasured and an whole entire industry on the fruits themselves, as well as the olive oil that is, you know, wonderful for cooking. I mean, that's pretty much all I use is olive oil.
Yeah.
And who did that? We need to know. So maybe we should look that up for next week. Where did this come from?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of stupid. It is. I mean, Who would think to do this? It just makes no sense. I'm sure, like, the first person that came up with the idea, hey, we're going to take these things and we're going to make a multi-billion-dollar industry out of them. Really?
That might have not been the way they started. I mean, necessity is the mother of invention. And I'm seeing here that it originated in ancient Roman times, which, you know, that's really far back for them to be figuring this out. But they were remarkable.
Well, they built the aqueduct, too, so they could have done anything.
Yeah, true.
Okay. So, but it is really kind of, who thought of this? Who thought of this? It makes no sense that this would have ever happened. But clearly it has happened. So the big question is why and how? How did this happen? This is so. All right. So you saw olives, you saw grapes, you saw plants, you saw frescoes and churches and
mosaics everywhere. So cool.
And yucky bread.
And you know, there was some good bread, but in Tuscany.
Was yucky bread.
Yeah.
That makes me sad. All right. Well, we should give the phone number.
Yeah.
908-448-0951. And we would love to hear from you. There is just so much going on in the garden, just so much. And of course, next week, next Saturday, is the plant exchange. It's 12 to 4 approximately. I have people coming. Jordan's going to help me every day this week because I just have so much to do. And Tommy took off last week and he helped. We'll talk about some of the things that he did. I will be doing a post on my blog, which will have a lot of the details of what to bring or what you can bring, which is pretty open, actually. I will finish that up today and we'll get that on the website, which is peggygarden.com. So you can go there. But I do not post or announce my address publicly anyplace. If you want the address, if you've been there before, you already know. But if you want the address, you can call now and get the address from Andy, who answers the phone, or you can email me on my website and I will give you the address, since I don't want necessarily the whole entire world knowing where I am, just the people that are really interested in gardening. So let us know if you want to come. But we worked on so much this week. So I've got the three big trees in, and that's what the blog is going to be about. So I don't want to focus on that too much, but they are fabulous. And yesterday in the rain, my husband cut down the big tulip tree.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very bittersweet.
Yep.
Because it was a beautiful tree. But it was a volunteer, and it was there, and it's in the wrong spot. It was blocking all the other things that I had intentionally planted. And the reason we let it go as long as we did was it gave some, what would we say, camouflage a little bit?
Yeah, but only from a certain angle.
But only from a certain angle, and that was the problem, of the big, ugly building.
Mm-hmm.
And the big, ugly building is bigger and uglier than ever. And but the tulip tree, only if you were working behind the barn or working on the chickens, did the tulip tree give you any real cover for the big, ugly building.
Mm-hmm.
And I had planted behind it, when we first moved to Tiny Farm, a deodar cedar, which is a little bit weird. It's growing a little bit weird, but I finally was able to train it to have a leader. It has a leader. The side branches, which have been growing for a few years in the absence of a leader, are kind of really big. So now it's this wide, shrubby-looking thing with a pointy thing coming out of the middle. It doesn't have a nice conical shape. So we may need to give some thought to seeing if we can shape that a little. You can't prune it too hard, because if you prune it back to bare wood, it's not going to grow. So,
right.
But we may need to pay some attention to that. Also, back in the corner, which is kind of shady, is an Osculus parviflora. And I don't know that has a common name. Does that have a common name?
I don't know, because I've asked you several times and you always give me
the botanical name.
Yeah.
I don't think it has a there's some other Osculuses. One is the horse chestnut tree.
Oh, that's what the leaves do look similar.
Yes, they do. And that one is Osculus hippocastanum. And then we planted a red buckeye, which is an Osculus pavia. But the parviflora, I don't know. But anyway, the reason I like that is it's very shade tolerant. And it flowers in July,
nice.
Which is nice. It gets white spikes of flowers in July. And it grows a little thickety.
Right.
A little bit more thickety than the other ones. And I really... But there's stuff growing through the fence from the woods that are starting to... We need to get back there and clean it up. It can take the shade, but... So we're trying to... We took down the tulip tree in order to get more light back there.
Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing that it's called the bottle brush buckeye.
Okay.
Common name.
Common name. Bottle brush buckeye, huh?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's sometimes also applied to the Pavia one, the red buckeye. But, okay, we can call it that. You like that? You like that better?
We can call it whatever you want.
Sean, what do you think? You like that better? Yeah, you like that? Okay. So we'll call it the bottle brush buckeye. In my head, it will always be parviflora, but okay, we can live with that. Reich says it really upsets him when I say botanical names. He says
really?
I lose him when I say botanical
no.
names.
No.
Well, but the truth is, if you want the right one, you have to use a botanical name because the common names are so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Ever try looking for a tulip tree? Do you know how many things are called tulip trees? There's a lot of things called tulip trees. Mm-hmm. Very confusing. But the one that we call tulip tree is now gone. It is out of the yard. Tommy cut it up maybe about 2 feet off the ground, so it's got this thing sticking out. We're going to have to figure out what to do with that. But it has now been removed, and we want to place next to it this really cute skinny juniper that I bought.
That's where that's gonna go.
So it'll be very narrow, it won't throw a lot of shade,
mm-hmm.
but it will help just to make that area more complete. So years ago Tommy and I came up with a plan of trying to make the yard into rooms, and so we have the Garden of Ancient Ruins room, we have the vegetable garden room, we have that area back, the blocking the big ugly building room with all these cool, really cool, narrow weeping kind of things that are really interesting. So that'll go in part of that room. So so we need to do that. But as far as the big ugly building, I have to tell this story because big ugly building is big and ugly. And they raised up the ground like 5 feet so that the bottom of the big ugly building is near the top of my fence. Now, it's set back about 15 or 20 feet, but when you see people standing next to the big ugly building, you see them all over the fence all the way down to their ankles. You can't see their feet, but you can see them down to their ankles. That's how high they built up the ground. The property border happens to be at the lowest point of the area, so the fence is relatively low. So if you stand up by the chicken coop, and you look, you see over the top of the fence, and you see, and they've been piling garbage up there. All kinds of things. Car seats, mattresses, all kinds of stuff. They seem to have gotten rid of a little bit of it because they had a big party. And they put up a fence blocking the view on the end of the garbage. So they recognized that it was not very attractive to look at. So for the party, they put up this fence so that you can see it from the party. We can still see it.
Mm.
And during the party, somebody ventured back into the garbage area and watered the garbage.
What?
Oh.
Yeah. In plain view. Yeah, you got it, right?
Yeah. Okay, yes. That took a minute.
It took a minute, huh? Well, I wanted to say it politely because we're on the air, but
wow.
So they were cognizant of the fact that the garbage was unattractive for the party, but I guess they didn't tell the guests that they had indoor plumbing,
you know. Man.
So later that night, as the band is playing well into after dark, the cops knocked on our door, and they wanted to know where this music was coming from, and said, not us.
Yeah.
I was afraid that I haven't heard from them, but I was afraid that they would have thought we would have called the cops. But we didn't. We tried to be gracious.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever be gracious about the one thing, but, you know. But we tried to be gracious about the party.
Mm-hmm.
But then the cops went back there, and not long after that, the music stopped. But
wow.
So the big ugly building is on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone can see it and when they come for the for the plant exchange. But we are there are things growing. There are things growing that are doing really well. The Dawn Redwood is beginning to give us some privacy, and we still have to put in the second dead tree, which I think Tommy's going to do today.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And because those kiwi vines have really done well, and the new dead tree is bigger than the old dead tree, and we'll put them right next to each other. So it's going to start to create like a fence-like thing with the two dead trees next to each other and the vines growing down and then up and then down and then up. And so it'll be create an additional barrier. And the tulip tree is gone, but it really didn't block the view. So, and it doesn't really change the perspective because now that the tulip tree is gone, what you see is more of the woods. So
right.
It's still green. We haven't lost that, but I'm very happy about putting this little juniper in and very happy that the deodar cedar is going to get more light. So, let's give the phone number again. Where is everybody today? The number here, 908-448-0951. So please do give us a call because we would love to chat with you, find out what's going on. And remember that if you have trouble listening or you want to take the show with you, you can always play on your phone or your computer and you can go to WOLDradio.com and you can listen wherever you happen to be. And then there's the other tricky way, which I think is probably the coolest way of all, is you can just call on the phone, on any phone, a landline phone, a cell phone. You can put it on speaker on the base phone, if you have a landline phone, or on even on the handheld, some depending on the kind of phone you have. And you can just dial this number, 518-737-0158, and you can listen on your phone wherever you are, which I think is super cool. I don't think I've ever have you ever heard of that anyplace else?
No,
we're because we're the best. That's why we're super cool. So that's all going on. I think it's time to stop harvesting my asparagus. You had some the other day, right?
It was delicious.
It's really good when you cut it fresh from the garden. So but we've been harvesting for a while now.
Yeah,
and I think it's time to let her rest and let the stalks grow and turn into the ferny thing. I got 14 tomato plants in this week. As you laugh at me.
It's a lot.
Well, we'll have to see. We have all different kinds.
Yeah.
I did one of a couple. You know, I did one million.
Sweet million?
Sweet million. Yeah, that's a cherry tomato.
Yeah.
And that's, how many cherry tomatoes do you need, really?
Right. I mean, and a sweet million, that's a good one to only plant one of.
Yeah, because it's very prolific, right? Yeah. I only planted one Jersey Devil, which Bob from Piscataway gave me because all my Jersey Devils did terrible. His did also.
No.
They just got limp. And they were growing in the same trays as the other tomatoes, and the other tomatoes did fine.
Huh.
So I don't know exactly. It must have been a bad batch of seed or something.
Something.
And his did poorly also, but he managed to salvage a couple and encourage them. So he gave me one. So I did one Jersey Devil. But there's a whole bunch of weird ones in there. There's those green pear ones that are called mint julep, and they're green.
I'm excited.
I did two of those. And I did a mortgage lifter, and I did a mushroom basket. And there's a story behind each one of these. They're not just tomatoes. The mortgage lifter story is that it was developed years ago. It's an heirloom variety. It was developed years ago, and somebody sold the plants for $1 each. Back in the day, that was a lot of money. And he sold them for $1 each, and he made enough money to pay off his mortgage, which is why they're called mortgage lifters.
That's so cool.
Now, the mushroom basket is one of your favorites.
I love it.
It's very ribbed, like a pumpkin, but deeper than a pumpkin is ribbed. And so when you slice it, and it's a big tomato, so when you slice it and you put it on the plate, it looks like a flower, like a red flower. So it's really beautiful, just served, if you put a little salt and pepper, a little olive oil, maybe sprinkle a little shredded mozzarella, it just becomes a work of art. But it's also really good. You slap it on a hamburger, and that's pretty yummy too. So so that has kind of an interesting story. So they're all kind of fun, and have to put this. I have to put the cages in and the stakes in, and I'm trying a couple different ways of holding them up this year. I'm trying a couple different techniques that I, because I've been struggling to get the tomato cages in the ground because you go down a foot.
The hard pan.
There's a hard pan, and they do not want to go into the hard pan. So, all right, well, we're going to go to the phones now. We're going to talk to Mary from Warren. Hey, Mary, how you doing?
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to hear Jordan back this morning.
Oh, yes. Good to hear you, too.
It's fun to have her back. I missed her. I did. I missed her. So what's up?
Well, we had some unfortunate happenings in the garden this week. Mm. Up here on top of the mountain, we had a bad frost.
And were your tomatoes in the ground?
Well, my personal tomatoes were not, but part of the garden is called the Giving Garden, and that's plantings that we do, and then all of that produce goes to food banks and soup kitchens.
Oh, and that got
hit? And we had planted probably about 200 tomato plants.
Oh, no.
So we hustled Wednesday morning to cover them with that, like, white
row cover.
Cover. And we still, even anybody that didn't cover theirs in their personal garden, they're gone. We probably lost about 30% of our tomatoes.
Mm. Oh, I'm so sorry.
But I'm wondering, near the bottom on some of them, the bottom of the stem doesn't, like, still looks green on some of them. And I'm wondering if suckers could potentially come, or if the, you know, do we cut off the dead tops? Do we, at this point, we're just kind of trying to figure out if any of it is salvageable.
Okay, here's my suggestion to you. Do nothing until Saturday.
Okay.
And then evaluate. And there's going to be a lot of tomato plants at the plant exchange. So you would be able to replace quite a few of them. I mean, I've got a whole bunch myself, and I'm just one person. So and my tomato plants are already in the ground, so I'm good. So all the ones that are left, and in fact, what did I say to you, Jordan, on the way here about going through, purging, and starting to put together all the plants that we're going to have available for the plant exchange tomorrow? We're going to start doing that tomorrow. So there will be a lot. But you're right. It is possible if the where the leaves attached are still viable that you can get side shoots coming up. Even at the base where the original seed leaves came, they have the ability to resprout also, which I did not know that until this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of interesting. I saw somebody doing a demonstration on one of those, what do you call those things?
Like a reel, or a
YouTube thing, where he actually cuts them off and leaving only the seed leaves, and they resprout, and then he would root the part that he cut off.
Cool.
Which is kind of interesting.
Oh.
So, yeah, so he would do that, and I'm not sure what the purpose was of why he would need to do that, but he would do that. And so when I was dealing with all of my tomato plants, one had broken, probably, if I had to make a guess, I would say a dog stepped on it. That's a definite possibility. And then it was broken. And I noticed it was sending up new shoots where the seed leaves had been.
Very cool.
And I probably would have not paid attention if I hadn't seen that guy do that demonstration. But yes. So point is, wait until Saturday and take a peek before you come down, and then you can see if any are growing or how many tomato plants you need, if nothing. Because they should show some sign of green emergence, even if it's going to be tiny, by Saturday.
By Saturday. Okay. Okay.
And then you can get plenty of replacements. And it's not – the truth is, it's not remotely too late to replace them. A lot of people say that you shouldn't put them in until after the 31st anyway, because the nights are cold and they don't do a lot of growing. So they just sit there.
Is it possible?
Go ahead, Jordan.
Is it possible too, like, if you still don't have enough after the exchange, once your healthy tomatoes that didn't get frosted start suckering, you could try to root the suckers in water and then fill
in the rest? Yes, you could do that. I've never tried rooting them like that. And I tried it this year. I got roots coming out all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you can do that as well. But that would result in a little bit more of a delay.
Yes.
Yes. But I think if people know, like people like our dear friend Bob and other people that have a lot of tomato plants know that there's a charitable effort that needs tomato plants, mm-hmm. I think you'll probably have more tomato plants than Campbell's soup.
Well, that would be great because, you know, tomatoes is one of the things that everybody uses, and they use it for so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know,
I have to tell you this. This is so funny. I worked on Friday for Mel at Madden's, and I had this lady come in, and she was a new gardener, and she had bought a home, and the previous owner had left her raised beds and all the tools and the tomato cages and everything that she needed. And she was about to buy an entire flat of tomatoes to put in a raised bed. She had never gardened before. So we had this long talk about what she could actually plant in there. But the thing that she was talking about was all the different things that she used tomatoes for. And like, she was, I think, Hispanic of some kind. And the things she was talking about were making me so hungry because they weren't being used in a way that I ordinarily use them. I mean, I'm a pretty diverse cook, but she was making me hungry. But I did have to tone her down. I did have to say, you cannot put 48 tomato plants in one raised bed, even two raised beds, even three raised beds. I think she had five raised beds, but she wanted to plant peppers and eggplants and squash. I was like, Calm down. Hold on. But the point is, now that we're putting it out there, and I can even add, because I am doing a blog that I will get out on today. When I get home, I will finish it up today. And there's a whole thing about the plant exchange. So I will add that we are seeking additional tomato plants for a charity garden. And I'm sure that people will bring even more, so we'll do that. Is that good for you, Mary?
That's wonderful. That's okay. Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, we'll work on that for sure.
Okay. And I have one other quick question.
Okay.
When can I move strawberries?
Not now.
Well, yeah, I know not now. They're covered in flowers and strawberries, and I mean, my bed is like 10 by 20. And they're probably in a third of the bed. And I just have so many other things. I mean, I'm going to be happy and thrilled with the harvest of strawberries, you know, this year. But you know how they are. They just keep growing and growing and spreading. And
Early April.
Early April would have been the time to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I'll wait till next spring and offer them out to people in the garden then.
Well, you can pot them up and bring them to the plant exchange next year.
Oh, yeah.
You can
absolutely.
There you go. All right. Well, I hope to see you on Saturday, and I will. Let me forget about the tomatoes, Jordan. You're in charge of not letting me forget.
Okay.
All right. So we will see you then.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye. And we will be back after this.
More of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells continues next on 95.1 WOLD. To stay connected with Peggy in between shows, log on to her website, peggygarden.com. That's PEGIgarden.com. And be sure to bookmark it and check back often.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of 95.1 WOLD and the all-new Garden Show with me and Jordan.
Hi.
Thrivent believes money is a tool, not a goal. Financial representative Amy Nichols, who's just a delightful person to work with and talk to, will work with you to create a financial strategy. I like that word, strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels very strong, strategy, that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter most to you, which is certainly your family and being comfortable enough to be able to give back a little bit, which is an important part of joy in your life. Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456, or you can visit her website at connect.thrivent.com/Amy-Nichols. Once again, Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456. That's a magic number, 3456. Or you can visit her website at connect.thrivent, that's thrivent.com/Amy-Nichols, and that's Nichols. And you can get all that information on my website, which is peggygarden.com, and that's a lot easier to remember. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Mike's Country Market, Nursery, and Landscaping offers its customers the services and merchandise for all your gardening and lawn care needs this spring. In business since 1980, Mike's Country Market offers seeds, trees, and everything in between. They are experts in the world of landscaping services, hardscaping, as well as delivering topsoil or mulch right to your home. Shopping hungry? Order a sandwich in the award-winning attached deli. Visit the country. Mike's Country Market is located at 200 Riva Avenue, right off of Milltown Road, on the East Brunswick-Milltown border. Their number is 732-821-7144. That's Mike's Country Market, Nursery and Landscaping, 732-821-7144. Mike's Country Market is a proud founding sponsor of the all-new Garden Show on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits.
Ladies and gentlemen, without promotion, something terrible happened. Nothing. We need Peggy and Jordan on the air for another 34 years, and you can help us make that happen. It's simple. Tell the folks you know to listen in every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon, and get the word out that The Garden Show is looking for sponsors. Call 732-991-5140 to learn more.
W-O-L-D. You're listening to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballister Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballister Howells, and you are?
Jordan.
You're Jordan.
Yes,
you are. So, you were working on a project, when was it, Friday?
Yeah.
So, tell me about the project you're working on.
All right. So, I was contacted by my dad about this woman he was doing a job for. He installs, you know, TVs, alarm systems. And she lives in Howell, and she just closed on her house, and she just needs some help in her garden. And she purchased a lot of plants that need to be installed as soon as possible. So I went over there on Friday, started moving things around and trying to plant what I could, and I'm trying to make a plan currently as to where everything needs to fit in, because a lot of things are full sun, but only one bed really gets a lot of sun, so it's going to be a project, yeah.
And the takeaway from this that I would like my wonderful listening audience to get is you really need to know what you're buying.
Yes.
And give it some thought.
Yes.
It's nice to go and just pick out all the pretty things.
It's fun. We get so excited.
Yeah, we do. I mean, let's face it. I probably am the worst for that. Have to have that. Oh, I need that one too. But if you don't have the right spot for them,
right,
it creates really a very big challenge. But listen, we have Bob from Piscataway. So let's have a little chat with Bob. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing fine, Peggy. Good morning. Good morning, Jordan. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk about tomatoes and potatoes.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, I have a lot of tomatoes still going, and you know, I do give them away to people, so I'll be bringing a lot of tomatoes to the plant exchange next weekend. I'm really excited this year. My red racers are taking off. They're really tall now, and I need to get them in the ground probably today or tomorrow. I like them a lot because they're early tomatoes, so in the past, the last week of June, I've had red tomatoes, ripe tomatoes from those plants. So I'm excited about getting them in the ground, and I tried some 4th of July's this year, which is a similar type of a tomato. So I want to see who wins the race and gives us the first red tomato.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun. Yeah. You'll have to report on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to let you know on that. And I want to talk about, a few weeks ago I mentioned that we put potatoes in the ground. And they're really growing really good, but I'm baffled. So every time the green comes up, I let it grow a couple inches high. Then I bury it, leaving some green sticking. 2 days later, there's more. And I'll go through the same process. I mean, we filled this hill like 5 times so far. I guess I'm doing it right.
Sounds like you're doing it right.
So when you cover the tops, do you, like, cover most of it?
Well, I'll be honest. I haven't covered mine at all, and it's you know, bad on me. I need to get out there. But my tomatoes are my potatoes are looking really, really lush as well. Mm-hmm. All that early rain, you know, it's been dry recently, but all that early rain really got them established nicely, and I need to cover them up. Mine are about a foot tall.
Yeah.
And I need to mound it up about 6 inches or at least 3 or 4 inches and then do it again a little bit down the road. But the idea is they will continue to send out more roots from the stems and will continue to make more tubers. And that's how it works when you grow them in tires. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Where you keep adding the tires and then filling it up. And then when you take the tires off, you've got potatoes all the way down, which is very cool. So you can grow potatoes and tires just about anywhere. But, yeah, that's the idea. Eventually, you know, when the ground is really covered, I imagine at some point you can decide that you've done enough. But that is the idea, is that you keep burying them and letting them grow and then burying them and letting them grow. That's the way you do it until at least...
I'm sorry, go on.
At least until you fill up the trench and raise it up a little bit.
How much foliage do you leave up on the top then when you cover it? A couple inches?
No, eventually I think you just let them go. After you've filled up the trench and then raised it up a little bit, you can just let them go.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense? Already,
yeah, it does. As I mean, you know, I was telling Nancy, like, what am I going to do? Keep mounding this up till it's like 4 foot high?
No, you don't go that high. You don't have to go that high, but you do fill in the trench and then you keep mounding it up a little bit above that until it's, you know, above ground, and then you should be okay.
But you leave about 2 inches of green sticking out, or leave like a quarter of an inch?
Oh, no, not a quarter of an inch. I would leave 3 inches.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, maybe I'm filling them too fast then. Okay. But at least they're growing, so I'm excited about that. There's a lot of stuff going on right now with flowers and shrubs and everything that we're putting in, so we're very busy, and it's time to start. I was hesitant about putting my garden in too soon because of the weird weather that we seem to be getting in May now. And isn't it great that you didn't have your plant exchange yesterday in the rain?
Well, the first thing Andy said to me when we came in today was, how lucky were we that the wedding was planned for yesterday? Because absolutely, there's no doubt, Bob, that if we had had it yesterday, we would have been rained out 3 years in a row.
Right, crisis averted.
Yes. So the weather is predicted to be okay for next Saturday. As of now, that that can change, what, 6 times between now and then? But at the moment, we have keeping our fingers crossed. And it's so funny. I mean, you know, Anne Marie and Uncle Art are another gardening friends from the radio show that help and that I stay in touch with now. And I called her on the way when it was raining so hard we couldn't see out the windshield. And said, I am so glad that I'm on my way to a wedding instead of trying to shut down the plant exchange. So keep your fingers crossed. Next Saturday should be great, I hope.
Yeah, I think it looks good for now. But I guess there's somewhere deep in our mindset, Nancy and I were used to the words plant exchange and rain. So we spent all day yesterday outside in the rain working. it's putting things in because it was a nice day to work, actually, with rain here on and whatever. But our outdoor cat couldn't figure out why are we out here in the pouring rain. Like, I'm not enjoying this, but it was good. You know, it was a good day to work. It didn't, up in Piscataway, it didn't rain that hard all day, but it was steady. So we needed the rain. It's a good thing to have gotten.
Oh, yeah,
it.
We mm-hmm. definitely needed the rain. I have all those expensive plantings that I put in this year, and we've been, you know, we have four hoses set up outside that we move around on a regular basis to make sure everything gets watered when it needs to. I'd rather err on the side of a little bit too much water, since I have excellent drainage, than not enough. So it's a big relief we won't have to do that for a couple of days. But Tommy went out in the morning before we were ready to go to the wedding in between raindrops and cut down this 20-foot tall tulip tree that we've been threatening to cut down for 3 years mm-hmm. and just kept getting bigger. And we finally said, look, if we wait one more year, it's going to be too big for us to do ourselves. So he cut that down in the middle of the rain. So it's out there all kind of laying on the ground, all kind of droopy now, but it'll be gone by Saturday for sure. But yeah, so he did that in the rain. But you know what? Andy came in here and he was talking about how he had gone out and purchased some sod from Mike's Nursery, one mm-hmm. of the sponsors of the Garden Show, and that it was in excellent condition. And he brought it home, and he was a little stressed about having to plant it in the rain. And I said, if you have to plant sod, planting it in the rain is a pretty good way to do it, because the advantage is that nothing gets overheated, nothing gets dry, the ground is wet, it immediately can connect easily. Not the worst thing in the world to do some planting in the rain, that's for sure.
Now, as long as you can tolerate the weather itself, I've done it. I've actually put my vegetable garden in 1 year in the rain. It was overcast, so it was comfortable to work because you're not getting burning sun on your neck or anything.
Right.
It was good, and the ground's nice and soft, so it's a lot easier to work.
And it also gives the plants a really good adjustment period because, you know, things get blown in the wind and they get limp or they get sunburned if there's too much sun, if they're not used to it. You plant them in the rain, you eliminate of course, you don't want to plant them in a hailstorm, but, you know, but if it's a reasonable rain, planting them in the rain actually gives them an element of protection.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, so okay, how are all your new plants? Oh. Tell me.
They're going. Oh, go on.
Bob came to visit me when I worked at Mel's at Madden's on Friday. Mel needed some extra help, so I offered to give her two Fridays. The last two Fridays, I helped her down there. I had a grand time, but she was having an awesome sale, and so I called Bob because I knew some of the things that he wanted were on sale. So I called him, and he came down, and we got to hung out together for what, probably pushing an hour, right?
Yeah, easily an hour, yeah. It's a wonderful place. And they had really good prices for the things that we were looking for. So it was a win-win situation. When we came home that day, I dug all the holes and got the areas ready. And then Saturday, Nancy went out and worked her magic with it and got everything in. The only thing that isn't in is the crooked bark willow. I will start, because that's going to be a pretty big job, not because of the plant itself, but because the area I'm putting it in. That's where the very, very 100-foot tall large ash tree was that we had to take out last year because they died. And so now it's a massive hole that when they did the stump grinding, I mean, they went around 10 foot in a circle because the stump is huge. So I need to prepare that area. All the soil around where they were working, the whole yard got raised, so I have to go out there. I'm going to probably go with my rototill to just break everything up and start filling that pit back up. I've been using all of the wood chips from that as landscaping chips all around my yard. So, you know, that works really good, but I have to prepare that area, and it's going to take me a day or two to really get dug deep and make sure I could get out whatever I need to get out to put the tree in there.
Well, if there's going to be a lot of sawdust and wood chips left in the ground, you might want to consider putting a little bit of fertilizer in.
Yeah, I'm going to go and get garden soil and fertilizer. You know, really, I have some, I guess, cow manure that you buy in bags. That's probably too strong, or if I put
no,
it in.
No, that would be okay. But the thing is that wood chips and wood and sawdust is even way worse, and there will be a certain amount of sawdust involved here. Because the particle size are so tiny, they decompose in the ground relatively quickly. But the limiting factor in the decomposition is the lack of nitrogen. And if you till in, and I don't think you're going to be in this position exactly, but for example, if you till in a ton of sawdust into soil, you can actually render the soil sterile.
Completely sterile. Wow.
Because the rapid decomposition of the high carbon sawdust depletes the soil of all nitrogen. So if there's a lot of that, and we also have to balance it out with that you should never fertilize a newly planted tree, but you don't want to put it in ground that's going to be completely void of nutrients either. So you need to find a balance. If you can observe that there is stuff that you are tilling in, that is wood chips and sawdust, then just kind of uniformly, not in the planting hole, but kind of uniformly as you till, add a small amount of just, 10-10-10, nothing, super, not lawn fertilizer, just something to provide a source of nitrogen to help offset that you're tilling in all of this high carbon, quickly decomposing material.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I've got most of it out, but I'm sure as I till around the surrounding area, there will be a lot of chip in there, or dust more than anything. Interesting about the sawdust, a neighbor of mine is a woodworker, and he gave me many bags of sawdust he does a lot of work with natural oak, and it's like 10% humidity. It's not treated. It's beautiful, beautiful wood. And I used the sawdust as ground cover where I didn't want weeds to come up anymore. But we also planted some flowers in those areas, pulling the dust away and putting the flower in. Would the sawdust on the surface leach into the ground so much that it would ruin it, or is that only pertaining to when the sawdust gets worked into the soil?
No, if it's sawdust sitting on the surface, that can be a little bit problematic. I don't know that I would ever use it like that. How did any weeds grow? Was it effective in controlling the weeds?
There's some weeds coming through, but not like there normally would be. But some weeds have come through, so I guess it's not doing the job I was hoping. I was more hoping it would be more like a sunblock where, the rays wouldn't get through. And, this area has had a ton of weeds. I still get weeds, but not as many.
Well, so, the fact that some weeds are coming through is actually an indication that it has not sterilized the soil. So that's actually
right,
good.
Right.
So that's actually
right,
good.
Right.
But I would make sure when you're planting anything that you do fertilize whatever you're planting.
Yeah, I put a lot of compost in there. And then I guess we should go around with fertilizer pellets or whatever
to offset that.
We lost alums. We planted alum bulbs last fall. Some of them weren't in very good shape. We didn't get them in until later than we should have. All those, they initially came up, they didn't look real good, and this was even before I put the sawdust down, and then they all died. So I don't know if it's from the dust or if it's from the, damaged bulbs or what have you, or just an area they don't like. But, I have to keep an eye on those things.
Yeah, I would go easy on the sawdust.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, everything else good?
Yep, all good.
Okay, very good. All right, thanks for calling, Bob. You have a great rest of your weekend.
Yep, see you next Saturday.
Okay, can't wait. Thanks. Bye-bye. Okay, we're just going to keep going. Okay, so we have no more callers. Let me give the phone number. It's 908-448-0951. So we are getting ready, and there is just so much to do. One of the things that I want to do, we already talked about that we need to purge, and we need to find there are so many things shoved in my greenhouse that we've been propagating. We've been propagating all winter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things in the greenhouse that we need to – there's a couple points that is I just can't stand looking at them anymore. I need to get rid of them. But there's a lot of some begonias, some did well, some not so well, but what else? We propagated a bunch of succulents, some cacti, some philodendrons. So we need to sort all of that and get that all out and clean up the greenhouse so it looks really pretty, which is very important. So that's one thing. So we talked about that. But the other thing I want to do is I want to do some pruning outside. The I did a little pruning on the forsythia, so I think they're okay for now. I would like to prune the spirea a little bit.
Okay.
Because they're, you know, growing together.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I'm losing a couple forsythia. I don't know why, but they're just, they're misbehaving.
Mm.
And the spirea and the weigelia that are growing around them are encroaching on the spaces because the forsythia are not being robust.
Mm-hmm.
A few of them are very robust, but a couple of them are not. So I need to investigate into that. But I want to cut. Now is the time, as things finish blooming, is the time to prune. So there's a lot of things like that. I already did the forsythia because they bloomed a while ago. The spirea just finished blooming, so now is a good time to prune them. I will prune the weigelia right after they finish blooming, but those are red right now.
Oh, they're magnificent.
They are magnificent. Mm-hmm. They are magnificent. So, but there's a couple of other things. There's that weird maple tree that was completely cut down to the ground as part of all of the things that were cut down when we bought the place. And it sent up all these suckers.
Huh.
That one, it's over to the left of the garage, that one. And so I've been pruning all the side shoots off of it. So it grows very tall and narrow, but it's getting really tall now. And some of the branches higher up are beginning to go sideways. And I don't want it to grow sideways. I want it to stay skinny. So we mm-hmm. need to get in there with a good pair of loppers and cut some of those ones that are branching out at the top all the way down at the bottom. So we need to do that.
Okay.
We need to do that. And it's beginning to block the clematis that are blooming. Another reason to cut them down.
Right.
Okay. So we need to do that. And then there's all of this stuff in the woods that is trying to grow over the fence into the yard. Back!
Back! I know. We need to banish it.
Yes. Needs to go back. Okay. We have about 2 minutes. Let's see if we can talk to Joan from Milltown. Hey, Joan.
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have some iris questions.
Okay.
I have the beautiful bearded iris, and usually the whole side of my driveway blooms. There's a section that's not, and I know that you have to dig them up and replant them so their corms, are they called, are above the ground. I'm not exactly sure why they're not blooming because this is the first year that they haven't.
Okay. Can I ask a couple questions?
Sure can.
Okay. In the area where they're not blooming, is there healthy foliage or is it just like...
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
All right. And how long have they been in the ground?
Oh, goodness. Years.
Okay.
Years.
It is possible that it's suicidal.
Okay.
Well,
right.
What happens is they grow together because they grow out the ends and they get all growing together so thick that they squish each other out. If they've been in the plate. So what you need to do is dig them out. And the way the way the tubers grow, it's like a Y at the end, like a tuber, and then two more tubers sticking out, and then the out of those two tubers is where the leaves come. That's what you want to save. You want to save the newest Ys. Okay?
The newest Ys.
Okay. Right. And then get rid of all the old growth. And then when you put them back in the ground, you make sure that they're facing out, not facing towards each other, or they'll get suicidal very quickly.
Oh,
so you need to make sure that they're growing away from each other. Okay?
Okay.
And you can do that right after they finish blooming. You can do it and 6 weeks after they finish blooming. Or you could do it in September. Or I don't recommend doing it in the spring because that you can disrupt your blooming cycle. But you have options.
Okay. Okay. Well, some of them just aren't blooming at all, and they usually do. You know, I usually have all different colors, and they're very, very pretty. So.
They are, but that's what you need to do.
I'm missing them.
Okay. I understand. I totally understand. It's so disappointing when they don't do what they're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
But that's my guess is what's going on. As long as they look healthy, then that's my guess.
They do. Okay.
Okay?
All right. I'm going to wait till September, though, I think.
That sounds like a plan, a totally reasonable plan.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, you have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye now. All right, and we'll be back after this.
This is the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells. We'll take more of your calls next on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. The call-in line is 908-448-0951. That's 908-448-0951.
Your home is your greatest investment. It is your greatest investment. And it's not just money.
Time.
And emotion.
Yep.
And memories. And treasures. And having had my home burned down, it's more than the sticks and the mortar. There's a lot going on there. You want to keep that safe. And you need to have somebody that you can call that you can trust. Somebody who's going to be there when you need them to be there. Somebody that's going to do what you want done, not what they want to do. Somebody who's going to listen and do a good job. And that is Rest Assured Restored. We know, already know, from experience, since he started advertising, that Kelly at Rest Assured Restored is easy to talk to, listens, is Johnny on the spot, gets the job done, does a good job. Anything that he can't do himself, although they have a wide range of things that they can do, he has connections with people throughout the industry to make sure that he can get you whatever he can't do done in a timely and reasonable manner. So whether it's water or mold damage, whether it's exterior, interior painting, bathroom remodeling, even cleaning out your garage or your attic. Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody help clean out the garage and the attic? I mean, really. Rest assured you found the help that you need. So call Kelly at 732-781-8857. Again, that number, 732-781-8857. And he'll give you a free estimate. And if you mention that you heard about Kelly on the all-new Garden Show, you'll receive a 10% discount on all the services that they provide. And you can get all this information about them at my website, peggygarden.com. So all the contact information is there. And Peggy, P-E-G-I, garden.com is very easy to remember. So you can go there and get all the information about all the sponsors, especially Rest Assured Restored.
As lovers of gardening, we sometimes think that others are just like us, the salt of the earth, always amenable to helping our fellow members of the human family. Regrettably, there will always be those who prey on the naivete of homeowners who think that nothing bad will ever happen in their neighborhood. Those days are over, and our friends at Elite Surveillance are here to make sure that if anyone ever tries to mess with you, they will regret it. Call 732-702-2434 to receive a free estimate on a brand new state-of-the-art camera system to cover your biggest investment, your home, your property, and your beautiful garden. Andrew and his Elite Surveillance crew are the folks to trust when it comes to top-notch professional installation of a surveillance system that will keep you connected to what's happening 24 hours a day. Call Elite Surveillance at 732-702-2434 or visit EliteSurveillanceNJ.com to learn more. And be sure to mention the All New Garden Show to receive a 10% discount on your same-day installation. It's spring, and what are the chances you'll be hearing this sound? There's no need to pull your shoulder out of your socket. Gary is the small engine specialist, and he is your one stop for lawnmower repair and maintenance. Gary offers pickup and delivery and can diagnose most issues right there at your home. And whether it's your lawnmower, edger, blower, power washer, generator, or snowblower, Gary's the man to call. If you own a machine and it takes gasoline, Gary the small engine specialist can fix it. Call 917-807-3901. And be sure to mention the all-new Garden Show to receive lawnmower blade sharpening at no extra charge with every repair. That's Gary, the small engine specialist. 917-807-3901.